Well, we just sang about the gratefulness of the Lord, so great is his faithfulness and his mercies. His mercy endures forever, and his mercies are new every day. So we praise him for that this morning. Well, I took the Thanksgiving Day text because we're coming up on Thanksgiving. And so also what Clark had read was part of the scripture reading for Thanksgiving. And the other the epistle text is Philippians 4, 6 through 20. And also I'll be reading the gospel text, which is Luke 17, 11 through 19. So we began in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll begin with Philippians 4, beginning with the 6th verse on through the 20th. And we read in Jesus' name as follows. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I know both how to abase and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Now we'll turn to Luke 17th chapter. That's Luke 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse through the 19th. We'll read again in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. beginning of our text in Philippians, Paul says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. So here he's telling us that don't be anxious for anything. But if you're anxious, that you would bring everything by prayer and supplication. And then he adds, with thanksgiving. And that's what this coming Thursday will be celebrating, Thanksgiving Day, which our nation has set aside for Thanksgiving. And it's a good thing. And it seems like maybe it has lost its real meaning over the years, but we should thank God every day, not only on Thanksgiving, for all that he has done for us. That great salvation that he has provided through our Son, through his Son, that this morning that we can have that peace of God, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have that hope of eternal life. That's one of the greatest things to be thankful for today, is that salvation that he has provided for us as a gift. We didn't earn it, but he gave it to us as a gift. And it kind of ties in with our gospel text, with the 10 lepers, and how that Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, where he would go to the cross, he was met going through Samaria, in that area. There was 10 lepers that seen him coming. And the lepers were considered unclean, and they were supposed to shout out unclean to those that were coming towards them, that they would know that they were unclean. And so when they seen Jesus coming, they cried out unto him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know what a blessing it was that they knew Jesus, that he was able to have mercy on them. So they cried out to him that he would have mercy on them. And we today also, we cry out to the Lord that he would have mercy on us. We suffer from a sin disease, the uncleanness of sin. And so we are kind of like these lepers. And as we cry out to the Lord for mercy, he extends his mercy unto us. Even though we're unclean in this flesh, because of what Jesus Christ has done on that cross, that we have this robe of righteousness that is clean as can be. And so when God looks at us, he don't see our uncleanness. He sees us as his children, as his children. And what a blessing that is. There's many things to be anxious about today, right? Clark mentioned a few of the wars that we have in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine. And also we have in Ukraine and Russia. And it just seems like the world is going downhill real fast, with all the things going on in the world around us and how our nation seems to be turning further and further away from God. And it reminds me of the Old Testament text that was for today. And I may read that more important, I think, for us to read the scripture than anything else. But it's found in Deuteronomy Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, in the first 10 verses, is the Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving. And so, if you bear with me, we'll read that. All the commandments which I command thee this day, ye observe to do, and ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that you might make, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, the land whose stones are iron, and on these hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Kind of sounds like what we have in here in America, and how that the Lord has blessed this land with all the goodness that is here. And how that we have all these things that he speaks of here in this land, the promised land that he was sending his people into. And he gave us this land in America where food was plenty. I come from the Tri-Cities, and we grow enough stuff there to feed a big portion of the world. You know, we can grow just about anything with the sunshine and the irrigation, you know, from grapes to watermelon to apples and cherries and peaches and everything it seems like we have there, wheat. And so it's plentiful, that the land there that the Lord has given us. And throughout America we see all the things that he has given us in this land to provide for us. So as he says in the last verse, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which thou hast given, that he hath given thee. And oh, that we would remember to thank the Lord for the good land that he has given us. There's many areas around the world where they have droughts, where the people are starving. You know, and you look at the world, if you haven't been to some of these poor countries, you don't understand, you know, how these people live. But I've been to Russia and Guatemala several times and seen how these poor people live with nothing, you know. Yet they thank the Lord for what they have. And oh, that we would be thankful, that we would not forget to thank the Lord for what he has provided for us. And as we come on to Thanksgiving, we should again thank him for what he has given unto us. Such a blessing to have what we have in this country, even though it seems like the whole country's going downhill. But as our text in Philippians says not to be anxious about anything. That we shouldn't be worrying about these things, that we shouldn't be anxious. It's a different to be concerned than to be anxious and worry. We can be concerned about things that are around us and how things are going, but when it comes to a point of anxiousness, then we need to go to the Lord in prayer and supplication, and not to forget thanksgiving. It says that if we do this, make our request made known unto the God, what does it say will happen? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a promise. If we do these things that he speaks of here, that if we bring these things in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, if we make our requests made known to God, then we will have this peace of God that passes all understanding. What a blessing that is, eh? To have that peace. You know, this epistle of Philippians, there's only four chapters, and it's a small letter here. But it's all about joy and joyfulness. I think it's 16 times it speaks in these four chapters about joy or rejoicing. So as a Christians, I think we should be joyful, huh? And have joy in our hearts. Sometimes the trials that we go through in this life, we don't joy in them when we're going through them. But we can still have joy in what the Lord has done for us. And that we would not forget what he has done. Prior to the text I took, it talks about rejoicing. The fourth verse says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. This is a word to us today. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he wants to make it sure that you understand. Rejoice. And then it goes on how that we can keep our mind from not being anxious, that we will. It says where we should keep our minds. You know, there's a real battle going on. There's a real warfare. And that warfare in our lives is taking part right here in between our ears, in our mind. We have the devil, the world in our own flesh, warring against the spirit. And so who do we allow to take control of our minds? It tells us here how that we can keep our minds right. It's so easy to be caught up in the world around us and the things that are going around in the world and just the troubles of this life. But he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. This is what we're supposed to think of. So easy to think on the opposite, right? All the depressing things that are going on. But the Lord, or Paul tells us here, to think on the things that are good, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, pure, lovely, of good report, and of virtue. So it shows us where to keep our minds. Then he goes on, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Here Paul says, the things that he has They have learned from him the things that they have received from him and heard and seen in him that they were to do. He goes on, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me is flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Here he's speaking of that at last he received the care that they had sent to him, and prior to that they lacked opportunity. But then he goes on to say, not that I speak in respect to want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. Very amazing. And all that, we could all learn that, right? Contentment. What is contentment? Good. Paul said, you know, it didn't come natural. But Paul says he had to learn it. So I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. I know that each one of us would be able to learn that, right? That we could be content. As the word tells us, contentment with godliness is great gain. Paul goes on, you know, Paul, go back a ways. Paul, he was at prison when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Yet he's, you know, he's telling them, you know, to be content. And he was in prison in Rome when he wrote this. And then we look back to his first visit to Philippi. What happened when Paul first visited Philippi? Well, he come along and there was this woman that was doing fortune telling. And then she repented of that and changed her ways, and she was no longer going to do these fortune telling for people. And how it was that her master was all upset at Paul and Silas. And so he brought them before the authorities, and they were beaten. Paul and Silas were beaten, and they were thrown in prison, and their feet in locks. And then what happened at midnight? Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises unto God out loud in the prison. Then there was an earthquake, and all the locks were open, and everybody was free. And the jailer was worried that he was going to be in trouble, so he was going to kill himself. And how Paul talked to him then. But we can see from even the first visit to Philippi what happened to Paul. And then he's telling us not to be anxious about anything. And Paul, he went through a lot of struggles. I'd like to maybe go through a couple of verses here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul in the 2 Corinthians 11th chapter and 23rd verse, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths off. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching off and watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So Paul, he was not without struggles. He went through a lot of struggles in his life. But he, as he says, goes on, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Here Paul says he knows how. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And how was he able to do this? In the last verse of this text here, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He couldn't do these things by himself, neither can we. But Christ will strengthen us. He will see us through whatever we go through in this life. He cares for us in every situation that we're in. And oh, that we would praise him that he has been with us all our time in this life. But we do pray that we would understand what that battle is that we go through in our minds, that we would not allow the devil, the world, our own flesh to take over our minds. That's where it all starts, in our minds, you know. It begins with a thought, then it can go to words and deeds. So we need to win that battle in our minds. And the only way we can win it is through strength that the Lord has given us, and through the Holy Spirit, we are able to win that battle. And we are promised that, here as we read, that if we bring these things before the Lord, if we're anxious, that we will have peace of God in our hearts. And oh, that the Lord would teach us all to be content, as Paul learned to be content. That's a hard thing, to be content. But as Paul learned to be content, we can also learn to be content through the help of our Lord that strengthened us, that we can go through all these things in life, not by our own strength, but by the strength that the Lord gives us. We thank him for all his many blessings that he has so abundantly blessed us with in this country, in our lives, and most of all, for that great salvation that he's provided through his Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and shed his blood to redeem us there on the cross. And then he was resurrected from life, that we may have also that hope of the resurrection. We just thank and praise him this morning for all the things that he has so abundantly blessed us with. In Jesus' name, now the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Yeah, let us unite in prayer and benediction. Father in heaven, we again come before you this morning, thanking you for all the many blessings that you so abundantly blessed us with. With all the things that are needful for our life here on this earth. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for that great salvation that you have provided through your Son for us. That free gift of salvation that you have given us, that hope of eternal life. Oh, Lord, we thank you. And, oh, Lord, that you would give us thankful hearts. It's so easy, Lord, to take things for granted. We take so many things for granted. Oh, Lord, that we would remember these things that you have given us for this life even, and for this country, and that we would pray for our leaders, that we would pray for President Biden, we would pray for Congress, our governors, and our state representatives, and to all those that are in authority over us. Oh Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that they would turn to you and your word as they lead us in this country. And oh Father, we pray for all those that are going through different struggles in this life, whether it's health issues or mental issues, whatever it may be. Oh Lord, that you would come alongside of them, that you would comfort them and strengthen them and give them peace. And for all of us, that you would cause us, that we would not be anxious for anything, that we would not be worrying about things of this life. So easy to be anxious about things in this world. But, oh Lord, that you would turn our hearts to look at the things that are pure, the things that are of virtue, or that are true, all these things that are good, that you would turn our hearts to look at those things, that we would not look at the things, the bad things in this life, and that you would help us, that we would win that battle of our mind, that Satan, the world, and our own flesh would like to take control. Oh Lord, be with us. And be with our families as we get together on this Thanksgiving time, and bless us. Amen. Now let us receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting life, peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.